Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we will just reference first, if you look in verse 1, we find the context of what is happening here. They are rebuilding the wall. Progress is being made. And chapter 3 is a very lovely chapter to indicate the cooperation, the united efforts, the dedication to this work of building the wall, rebuilding what had been broken down. But then there was the attack of the enemy because progress was being made. And not to go through all of this, but to see that there were these words of insults, there were mocking words in verse 2. Verse 3, someone came and looked at what they were building and said, "This is nothing. Even a fox could walk up this wall and knock it over." They felt despised. And Nehemiah in verse 4, we heard already this lovely characteristic of the man of prayer, Nehemiah. Many times he simply breaks out in an expression of prayer, and this is one of them. "Hear, O God, we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads," and so on. But they continue the work in verse 6, and then we'll begin at verse 7. "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened that when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpets was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive. We are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, "Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day." So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Read again verse 9. "We made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." There are many really excellent applications and comments that could be made from this chapter. It's not my thought to go through them in detail, but to consider the the realization that they were building in what was effectively enemy territory, though it was really their land. And it's somewhat like the Christians' warfare. We are in heavenly places, but in heavenly places, in Ephesians 6, there are spiritual battles. There are the attacks of the enemy, and some of them are pictured very nicely here. Those who would come and bring reproach and cast doubts upon the effectiveness of the work. Those in verse 10 who said they themselves had become discouraged and they were beginning to infect the others with this attitude of discouragement. So much rubbish. We can't clear it out of the way in time. It's interfering with progress. And the adversaries who would whisper among themselves and it became known, we're going to come upon them stealthily. We're going to ambush them. The wiles of the devil, the tricks that he uses to attack. And even these others, these are unfaithful ones who we would say they're not Jews in heart. They're not really the Lord's people, but they were culturally those who were in the area. In verse 12, they came by and said, you're never going to find them. You're never going to know in time. And they repeatedly emphasized the likelihood of failure. You will never know. You'll never be warned in time. Failure is coming. And in this set of circumstances, they made prayer to God and set a watch. I'd like to consider this idea of setting a watch as that which is in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, with all perseverance, praying always with all perseverance. It was a prayer, but it wasn't a prayer at the moment only. It was a prayer of perseverance, setting a watch day and night, unceasingly aware of the potential of an attack that would disrupt the work of building up the wall. This work of edification, this work of building up that which will honor God, building up one another, this work is something that is enjoined for us. We were told this in the New Testament. It is also something that is going to be a testimony to the people who see this work. The temple itself that is growing. We are participating in that building work. Paul is that wise master builder, and he says everybody should take heed how they build on that foundation. We have our own personal foundations, and we have a role in the building of the Church of God. And so there's this idea of this watch, the awareness that an attack could come from anywhere. And as the process was described in the rest of the second half of this chapter, this is emphasized. Nehemiah took steps to set guards in different places, and the work was not interrupted. Construction continued, but there were weapons at the ready, and these were spread all around, and there was a trumpeter who was ready to sound the alarm. And then when the trumpet alarm was sounded, all would come together at that one place, and could we say this is focused prayer for that specific attack that was going to happen at that moment. There would be a united response. I'd like to just emphasize this aspect of the prayer aspect of the watchfulness. We have much about warfare and battle and using these weapons also, but it's not my thought to emphasize that. But the constant state of readiness to be aware, and it's an attitude of prayer. It's an attitude of watchfulness. Watch and pray, the Lord Jesus said. We've had it a few times. And this attitude of readiness caused these particular enemies to subside, and that particular threat was diminished at the moment. But I'd like to point out what happens next in chapter 5. Because in chapter 5, there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. Verse 2, there were those who said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. We have to get grain so that we eat and live. Some did not have the funds to have enough food, so they had mortgaged their lands to fellow Jewish brethren. There was a famine, and they were not provided for. And so they fled to the fields. They went to the vineyards and had to do their work. And my thought is that on the one hand, they were very watchful for the external enemies. And yet they missed something else that was developing. When Nehemiah heard this, he was very angry in verse 6. Nehemiah had to be used to accomplish or to correct this circumstance, to put it right. And so that the enemy who came one way, the enemy who made some threats and threatened violence and disruption of the work in a very obvious outward attack, that enemy was stymied. That enemy was stopped because there was an attitude of prayer and watchfulness. There was a readiness. We are under attack. But they missed what was happening internally. And we spoke about forgiveness. We spoke about these other hindrances to prayer. We spoke about these other hindrances to spiritual progress among the people of God generally. And chapter 5 accomplished what chapter 4 could not. Chapter 5 stopped the work. Chapter 5 caused the people to cease building because they had to go off and do other things. And it became a series of circumstances and situations and attitudes and treatment, mistreatment of one another that Nehemiah had to then set right. And so this idea of setting a watch was effective in one area of awareness, but there was a lack of awareness in another area. The enemy is very crafty in this way. In Numbers chapter 22, the king Balak hires Balaam, a false prophet. He says, curse the people. And chapter 22 and 23 and 24 record how God would not permit this wicked man, Balaam, to speak a word against his people. And so in chapter 25, the enemy found another way by bringing in immorality and bringing the people into subjection to these foreign gods and making them subject to the punishment of God himself. The one who said in chapter 24 or 23, I think it's 24, God says, he has not beheld iniquity in Israel. He's seen righteousness in the tents of Jacob. And in chapter 25, they bring unrighteousness right into their tents because they who did not perhaps even know that God was for them, accomplishing victory in heavenly places when there was a spiritual attack, when it came to their own internal susceptibilities and weaknesses and moral failures, they just went right after what was held out to them as an attraction. So we have this encouragement, set a watch day and night. Make a prayer to God day and night, because there are attacks all around, but there are also those things from within ourselves. And those things more often will interrupt the work that is done for the Lord. But prayer also will accomplish the avoidance of those difficulties. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Because the flesh is weak, we watch and pray, and the Lord will help us to overcome those conflicts and overcome those weaknesses and those failures as well as we watch and pray.